Hi, I'm Sky Ross, and I have no relationships to disclose. So the presentation is going to focus on an evaluation on an HIV peer educator training program that was conducted at Rikers Island. So to give you a background on correctional health services in New York City, we work out of 12 facilities. Nine of the jails are on Rikers Island, as well as three borough houses and a public hospital inpatient unit. The average daily population in the New York City jails is almost 11,000, but there are 60,000 annual admissions. So there's a very high turnover rate. It is a hard to engage population. The mean stay is 37 days, and the median stay is only 7 days. These figures demonstrate the overlap between the multiple epidemics that our clients face. So they are in the cross-sections of poverty, homelessness, HIV, as well as mass incarceration. The figure on the left shows the overlap between where our clients return and the poverty levels in the city. So the larger bubbles represent larger numbers of reentrants, and the darker colors on the map represent areas with low median income of under $35,000 a year. And you can really see that our clients are largely returning to areas with high poverty levels. The figure on the right shows the overlap between where people are being released and the HIV incidence in those areas. So you can see that our people are being released, again, with the larger number being represented by larger yellow bubbles, to areas with high numbers of new HIV diagnoses, again, represented with the darker colors. So our team, the Transitional Healthcare Consortium, works on three levels. We do jail-based services, really trying to engage people as soon as they enter jail. We start doing screenings during the admission process, as well as primary care and treatment. And our HIV peer educator training falls under this umbrella. We also do care coordination, which involves mostly discharge planning that my colleague mentioned, really connecting people to care and preparing for their release to the communities. And our HIV peer educators are able to expand our reach during this level, really talking to our client, more clients than we could reach on our own about HIV prevention, treatment, and engagement in testing. And then in the community, we do follow up with our clients, making sure that they've been linked to care successfully and are continuing to follow up with their healthcare needs, as well as other service needs. And the hope is that our trained peer educators, once they return to their communities, are also engaging clients. As you saw, they're really returning to areas with high rates of HIV, and so our hope is that they're able to talk to their peers in their home communities as well. So you can see here that the HIV population is a little bit different than the general jail population. They tend to be older, with an average age of 45 compared to 34. They largely identify as non-Hispanic, Black, or African American, and they are mostly male. So peer educator training programs have a lot of evidence base, both inside and outside of correctional settings. Inside of correctional settings, they've been shown to reduce HIV stigma, as well as improve outcomes for those infected with HIV. Training programs have been shown to improve knowledge of HIV and increase intent to test among trained peer educators. And our model is really taken from the model that was developed by Michael Ross, Kelly McCann, and their team in the Texas County Jail Systems called Project Wall Talk. Those are the folks who found the increased intent to test for HIV. Outside in the community, they've been demonstrated to be cost-effective as well as effective in reducing behavioral risk among high-risk groups, and also better able to reach what we call hard-to-reach groups. So we also expected that our peer educator training program would increase HIV testing among the trained peer educators compared to the general jail population. Our program is 6 sessions, and with the main goals of having our trained educators able to discuss HIV incidence, prevalence, and trends in New York City, for them to be able to talk about disease progression and stages of HIV, as well as talk about different methods of testing, the importance of repeat testing, and defining the criteria for AIDS diagnosis. Our model really focuses on harm reduction, and we want our trained peer educators to act as trained HIV counselors who are able to talk about harm reduction methods and ways to stay safe. So the session, as I said, it's 6 sessions. It's over 5 weeks. Our first session just focuses on an overview of HIV surveillance in the New York City area. The second session focuses on defining HIV and AIDS and understanding and testing and the importance, again, of testing repeatedly and often. The third session focuses on AIDS diagnosis. We really start doing our role play practice around scenarios for people who are engaging in testing. The fourth and fifth sessions are combined, and we do HIV transmission, acquisition, prevention, and focus on counseling around HIV prevention and risk reduction. The final session is a recap with more practice, and we do a graduation ceremony here, and all of our peer educators graduate with a certificate of completion, and that includes a tally of their self-reported teachable moments, which I'll get to in a minute. So for this evaluation, we looked at 3 cycles from October of 2014 to January of 2015. Again, each cycle is 5 weeks. And then we had an IRB-approved protocol for a retrospective medical chart review looking at HIV testing among the peer educators. And then this was compared to the general jail population at the same time. Okay, so again, we looked at HIV testing, and then the teachable moments are self-reported encounters within the jail during which knowledge from the peer educator training was shared with other individuals in the jails. I know this is a little bit different from the peer educator literature that's out there that focuses a lot more on high-intensity situations. This is very much just what it sounds like. So we really just looked at frequencies, measures of central tendency, and then conducted a chi-square analysis to look at the difference in rate of testing and the peer educators and the population. So the demographics of our peer educators are very similar to those of the target population. They're largely identified as non-Hispanic, Black, or African American. And then the mean age was 40 and the median age was 45. So again, really demographically similar to the people who are HIV positive within the New York City jail system. We found that there was a significant difference in the testing among the peer educators compared to the jail population, with excluding people who we already knew were HIV positive at the time that they started the training. 64% of the peer educators were tested, compared to just about a quarter of the general jail population. So this is the results of our teachable moment data. And we averaged this out for 1 5-week session. So we have 2 paid facilitators leading the 5-week sessions, which results in about 30 trained peer educators. And we're able to get almost 4,000 teachable moments. To give you an idea of what this means for us, if we have 1 paid patient care coordinator who is seeing people for discharge planning, engaging them in treatment within the jail system, they might see about 5 clients a day, working full-time for 52 weeks. They would only see about 1,300 clients in a year. So this greatly expands the reach that our patient care coordinators were able to have in sharing information about HIV in the jail. So the educator training program was associated with a significant increase in HIV testing among participants, and it appears to be a cost-effective method of sharing information about HIV risk prevention, testing, and treatment within the jails. Because people are at this cross-section of multiple epidemics, when they come to us, there is an opportunity to reach them while they're at our door. We're able to teach them with and prepare them with tangible skills that are hopefully employable in the community. They become peer educators, and again, we were able to have what appears to be a cost-effective way of reaching more people within the system. So a future evaluation should include a larger sample. We might look at impacts like pre and post-test to look at knowledge gained, and definitely qualitative interviews with peer educators to understand which aspects of the training most resonated with them and helped them change their health behaviors, and which aspects they're most likely to share with other individuals in the jail. And a more formal cost analysis is warranted. Outcomes analysis might look at employment in the community, more follow-up with the people who were spoken to see if their health promotive behaviors have changed as well, and then also looking at recidivism rates among the peer educators. And thank you, and thank you to the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, who this was run through.